Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 59 of the Talk on the Rocks podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Jack. How's it going, buddy?
Doing good, man. Got new drinks to try. Very excited.
Yeah, we have some very delicious tall boys to try. Railway City Brewing Company was very nice to send us some delicious tall boys. So we got three here. I'm looking at the third one. It's a bit of a dessert beer. I mean, I don't want to rush through the podcast, but I'm really excited for that one. We won't say what it is now, but can't wait to give that a try at the end. Let's give Railway their little backstory at the beginning. They sent us some tasting notes, so let's get right into it. We don't have somebody on from them, so let's hear about it from their tasting notes here. So a little about Railway City. They were founded by a few gentlemen in 2008. Kind of sounds like the podcast, but about 10 years later. Our name, Railway City Brewing, actually comes from a rich history in our town, as St. Thomas is the railway capital of Canada. Interesting fact. As most of you know, 2008 was a period of financial crisis in Canada. Though it was definitely hard to start a small business at that time, our founders knew that between a recession and the huge Ford plant moving to St. Thomas, our locals needed something to get excited about and bring some life back into town in the coming years. So the plan for a brewery is to just do that, celebrating all the good about our town. I mean, that's a pretty good story. Like, it kind of reminds me of what we're in now. Like, it's not necessarily just a financial crisis, a lot crazier. Like, people are obviously passing away, but it's one of these like unprecedented times, like 2008 when the financial crisis happened. And it kind of reminds me of how excited people are going to be when they get out of this. So I like that little St. Thomas story. I'm pretty sure I have a buddy who's from St. Thomas. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Joe Thornton might be from St. Thomas. Fun fact.
You got me, man. I have zero clue where your friend or Joe Thornton is from. Is it both? Are you confusing both?
No, I know my friend is definitely from St. Thomas. I just got to figure out if Jumbo Joe is. I'm seeing London, Ontario, though. But maybe St. Thomas is near London. So we'll have to see on that one. But regardless, you want to hop into the first beer here? We've got our Dead Elephant here. 6.5. So we're starting off with a bang. They gave us a little intro here. It's our flagship brew, and it's available at the LCBO, so that's a perfect way to start off for us. Also the beer store, and it seems to be quite controversial to the public, but the locals embrace it. Once again, because of the rich history of our town, the beer is made in tribute of Jumbo the Elephant, one of the most predominant acts of P.T. Barnum's traveling circus. Did you know? The big traveling circus. Jumbo.
No, I wasn't aware.
At the time, was the largest elephant of the in the world. An
Is
African
that where you confused Joe Thornton
elephant.
With?
I don't think so. Like,
the elephant, maybe?
Similar hair color to his beard, as an elephant has skin, but that's about it. And he was born in Sudan. He came to
Interesting.
He actually came, well, it gets a little sad here at the end, but hopefully they bring it around. He came to his tragic death right here in St. Thomas when he was struck by one of the freight trains passing through.
That's messy.
I know. That's quite sad for one of the largest elephants in the world. Our town even has a life-size statue of him when you first get into the city to commemorate him. So that's touching. They're honoring the elephant. Dead Elephant is a 6.5% IPA made with sweet and fruity malts, candy notes, and a grapefruit finish that comes from the hops. This brew pairs well with burgers, chili, and spicy dishes. I'm gonna crack
nice.
It open here. Did you give it a sip yet?
Not yet. I've been waiting. Something's been holding me off from this.
A nice story. It almost says,
until the end, it was nice.
It seems like a folk tale. Like, I feel like I'm reading that as if it's true, but it's actually just like a myth. But
we're reading around a fire.
I'd assume that. What if we got to the end and they're all like made up stories? So that's got a bit of an amber look to it. We got our beautiful Railway City glasses here that they sent us. Let's give it a taste.
These are great glasses, I will say. I'm a fan.
I can taste that fruitiness to it. It does hit. It hits hard. That's a tasty beer. It says here, the brew's name seems quite controversial to the public. So I guess
why is that? Is it they don't like Dead Elephant?
Well, Dead Elephant. I guess that is a pretty literal name. I didn't even clue into that till I got halfway through the story. But it is in honor of the elephant. The can does kind of have the X's on the eyes. It is apart from the elephant, it is a pretty cool can, though. I got to admit, the black and red is really cool. Big live life large on the
does. Yeah. I'm a fan. I don't get the controversy. I mean, it's dead. You're not going to bring it back.
Yeah. You might as well. Someone's just mad they took their honor. Like, if I was to die myself
and I made a beer named Dead Thomas.
Yeah, I'd be like,
and put a picture of you with eyes X'd out.
Yeah, I mean, at least I have a beer about me. It's not like you're saying like shit on Dead Thomas or like Thomas sucked and now he's dead. Like, it's like, I don't know. I like it. It's a little edgy.
I'm a fan. If someone did that for me, I'd take it as a gesture.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we were on last week. We had a bit of a formal interview with Brian Crawford. What'd you think post-mortem of that? Do you think that was pretty cool interview?
I liked it. I haven't listened to it, but afterwards, I thought it was cool. I thought it was pretty interesting.
I'm not
a golfer, but
you were a part of it.
He had interesting stuff.
I
did live it in the moment, so yeah, you're right.
I feel like he kind of had some, at least when it comes to, like, he didn't have the major sport experience. Obviously, he had the basketball experience, but football is obviously huge in America. But I'm talking about, like, sports our friend group grew up with. Golf and football weren't the biggest in our friend group. So it was kind of cool to learn more about them. I mean, I've been getting into NFL a lot more now. I used to watch CFL back in the day with my dad. I feel like, I don't know. And then he told that cool story at the end about the NFL player who he just casually name dropped and said was very good friends with him. And I'm pretty sure he's a massive football player. I should know who he is, but I actually didn't. And I was kind of embarrassed. So I was doing a quick Google search, but yeah, that was an awesome story at the end. So I was pretty happy about that interview. And geez, that guy's met a lot. Like, if he's even being in the room with Tiger Woods is a dream.
That's a flex right away. Yeah, I would agree. I would love to know what he's like.
He wasn't one of those name drop guys, though, which was pretty.
No, I know.
We had to, like, pry it out of him, like, who we met, which from Canada basketball. And then I would open
with Tiger.
Yeah, I know. My name's Brian Crawford, and I met Tiger Woods. How are you guys doing? No, I actually really, I like that interview. That was awesome. So you watch a lot of TV this weekend? You watch the Oscars and
mostly movies.
Watched all the movies. So you're just the movies guy?
No, I watched. I did throw the Oscars on. I more had it in the background. I did watch most of the movies as I usually do. A few escaped me, but I think you've seen most of the ones that escaped me, thankfully.
Yeah, I think we've kind of seen opposite.
Together, we combine it.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because neither of us have seen the one that won Best Picture, The Father. No, sorry.
No, that was Sir Anthony, Best Actor.
Sorry, Best Actor.
Picture was Nomadland.
Nomadland, I haven't seen. I assume you saw because it's pretty accessible when it's on the Disney. I'm going to watch it, though. I am going to. Honestly, my sister, my mom, and I were going to watch it. And I was not a fan of Frances when she got up there and was like howling and stuff. I mean,
I didn't see that. I saw it later on. What was the context with that? Or was
I don't know. I guess it's something from the movie. Did they talk about wolves in the movie? The wolf pack, be with the wolves. Like, I'm sure it had a.
Wolves
honestly,
escape me.
I might be a little being a little insensitive here. Maybe it has a greater meaning, but she just kind of like for the average listener, she got up there and howled. Barely said a thank you and then left. She did kind of go into about how she loves her work and like she dedicates everything to her work. So she is like happy she got the reward because she puts anything she has into her work because she loves it so much. So I respect that. But I think I would have made a bigger effort since Sunday to watch it if she hadn't done that. And it kind of turned me off. Also, like all the movies itself after like the whole setup of where I thought that We're going to get definitely a different actor winning Best Actor. It seems like they changed the order of the awards around. And then we're going to have a Chadwick Boseman tribute at the end. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's only like a couple of minutes. I mean, obviously they go over a lot, so I thought they were just going. And then,
I remember looking up at the screen. That was weird. I remember the ending. You're right, though. I remember looking at it and I saw that they did Best Picture. I checked the time and I'm like, I thought they'd go a little bit longer. And then I realized, they're going to do it now. And I was like,
yeah, it was kind of weird because it just at the end, you saw who won and he wasn't there either, which was kind of crazy because obviously Chadwick's passed away and he wasn't there. So if you kind of had it in your head that it was going to be like a tribute, no one was going to step into stage. Like I was already in that mindset that no one was going to accept the award, maybe Chadwick's wife, but it was crazy because no one accepted the award because he wasn't there. And there was just nothing. They cut off the show. It's like they ran out of time. Weirdest thing ever. It was like no closure to the app. And I thought it was a really good awards. Didn't really have like a host. I guess that's the thing with the Oscars. Am I missing something?
I have no idea. I didn't.
Is it a rumor?
I didn't hear anything about it.
Ever since like Kevin Hart wasn't the host, there hasn't been one since. Is what I have.
They had a line of people, but then they saw their tweets.
Yeah, maybe. But they didn't want to take any more risks.
They didn't want Ricky to come in and make fun of them again.
Yeah. So that was kind of bizarre, but they did a good job. Like they had like kind of live mic skits. I know Rel, I think his name's Rel, right? He did that one. He's the guy from...
Oh, from Bad Trip, Lil Rel Howery? Yeah. Yes.
So he kind of went around, handed the mic around. So people were like fully swearing and saying like, fuck the Academy or whatever, which was kind of hilarious. Oh. And it showed some like humility to the show that's usually so formal. No beverages though, eh? They definitely didn't have any Railway City beers at the show. It was pretty tame in there. I mean, maybe they don't want to get the beers going because people will be getting up out of their seats and not being COVID safe, but like that was, I thought it was a pretty awesome looking setup, that room. I mean, I don't know. I thought they did the best they could. And although the show is better when you have musical performances, I still felt engaged. They did a lot of anecdotal stuff about everyone. So people who you wouldn't really know, like for example, the makeup artists or some of the sound people, they would go through and they would tell like a fun fact about them almost. I thought that was pretty cool. And it, rather than just hearing this award listed off, not having, unless you're in the field of makeup, you're in the field of sound, you probably don't know who these people are, put some humility on them. So you're actually not cheering for somebody, but you're like, hey, that's the guy who visited around Poland for 20 years and then he lived in every continent or some random story. I thought it was pretty cool.
No, I remember seeing something like that. They interviewed one of the cinematographers for one of the Best Pictures. It might have been Mank, but I remember watching the interview though, and I was like, "Oh, that is really cool, actually," because he like did all this like studying on like the 1930s and all this stuff, and, like research pieces about like the accuracy of the times, and I thought that was cool. So yeah, from what I could see, though, from what I remember of it, it is the best looking award show I've seen in the COVID era, I would say. So I think they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, I like the last one too. Did you watch another round? Kind of sad story.
Yes. That was on my list like for
ones that you've seen and you liked, or
yes,
kind of low key. Yeah, I really want to see it too, and I've heard good things. Very sad story about his daughter passing away. It was during the filming, right? Yeah, I guess it won Best Foreign Film. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch that. Sad story. So that almost made me want to watch it more, just to like watch it like has that extra really feel effect where you kind of sympathize obviously with the guy. And he put everything into his work. So I'm gonna watch that one for sure, even though it wasn't one of those that were up for the top noms. But
I thought it should have been. I thought it really deserved it, but I had it on my should have been there. I think I would have put it over there over like Mank or maybe Trial of Chicago, but I end up really liking it. It's fully Norwegian, so that's a little barrier. There's a bit of a language barrier, but throw some subtitles on. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I would never watch Mank. I don't even honestly had never heard of it before I turned on the show, but it reminds me of, I know the artist one, right? But anything like that old black and white type stuff, not going on my TV. It's just, I know I feel like I said this a week or two ago, something about old TV or old movies, but no, that's not, that one wouldn't be in my top list. That's for sure.
I fully agree. I have a stigma with old movies. They don't interest me. There's obviously some like clear outliers, like the obvious classics. And this is just kind of documenting the basics, or kind of documenting, I think it was Citizen Kane. And like it follows Herman Mankiewicz, who was like the main writer for it. And it just didn't really do it for me. I thought it was really cool. It was a really well-made movie, obviously. It was great acted. I think Amanda Seyfried and Gary Oldman were in it. They gave good performances. I came in with a negative connotation. I left with a negative connotation. It just doesn't do it for me.
It's funny because I was thinking in my head when I was watching it, when we did our rankings for 2020, what did I vote? And I think I had Soul up there, which I think that won Best Animated, won some sound ones as well. I had, what else? I loved Trial of Chicago 7. I didn't see it winning too much, but it was up there for a lot of the awards. And then the other one I had was good old Pete Davidson.
Oh, yes.
That was, I think I might have voted for that as my movie of the year, if I remember correctly. That definitely wasn't sniffing the Oscar awards, but I still like the movie regardless.
Yeah. No, I think, I can't remember what I had fully. I think I had Palm Springs, which I don't think that was getting. I don't think that was going to get much love either, but I would have put it over there. I don't know. I wasn't feeling Mank. It's David Fincher. I like his work. It's kind of the only reason I watched it. And I don't know. I was let down. But there's great movies, I thought.
I wanted to watch Minari, but then I think that's going to be a good one. The little guy in that one, I don't know his name. I think his name might be Alan something. That little kid in the movie. He was there. He's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah?
He had his birthday. He said he got a new bike. He got a new iPad. And the kid was on his phone. You'd
a fucking Oscar.
At this table, and he's like, my mom's like, oh, maybe he's just like watching because he couldn't see. So he's watching like the stream or something. But the kid's clearly like,
he's probably playing fucking like,
he's moving his hands. You could tell he's playing some game, which I respect. If you're like, I don't know what he is, maybe 8 or younger. I don't know how old he is, but I wouldn't be able to pay attention to this. Yeah, he's never probably seen none of these movies. Why does he want to listen to all these random strangers go up and accept awards? Like the poor kid, luckily, he even stayed awake.
Yeah, that's funny though. He's probably rooting for Mank.
Oh, probably,
some artsy kid.
Yeah,
probably already has a scholarship to NYU.
You never know.
That's fine. I didn't see him with an iPad.
And if not,
I would do the same.
He'll be able to pay his way in, so we'll be good.
Fuck.
All right.
He gets an iPad and an Oscar for his birthday.
not a bad gift. I wonder what he likes. Probably likes the iPad more though, so he can play like Minecraft on it. Probably sell his Oscars so he can get more Fortnite bucks or something.
More iPads.
Okay, let's move on to Crew Premium Lager. The Crew is our most popular lager. They're available year-round in the LCBO, so another accessible beer. Anyone can go pick it up. Also licensed grocery stores across Ontario. It's a European-style lager that's light-bodied. A 4.8, so still a bit strong, but not as strong as the Dead Elephant. And it is easy drinking, they say. The Crew stands on its bready, malty backbone and leaves you with a crisp, refreshing finish. Not very hoppy at all, at only 13 IBU. It pairs great with pizza, fajitas, tacos, you name it. Like, they're just hitting all the... It goes well with any food you could have for dinner. These are just dinner beers with all of your favorite, like, pizza. They just get you in by saying, like, all the best foods, like pizza, fajitas, tacos, burgers was all the other one. It's like, you might as well just have the beer with anything. All right, let's get into it.
I'm down.
Nice can. Nice orange and blue setup there. I like that. Proudly brewed in St. Thomas, Ontario. I feel like that's just so common for the craft brewers. They're all about promoting being like close to home, things like that. I like that.
There's nothing more local than a craft beer.
You can tell kind of our radar is how close it is to a Bud Light, and this is looking more close to a Bud Light for sure. Yeah. Just the color, it's not as amber.
No, it's really good, man. Really smooth. Doesn't feel like a 4.8.
Yeah, that's good.
I'd probably give it a 10.0 out of 10. Delicious.
I don't want to be that guy, but it does give those European beer vibes. If Matt was on here, he would have said that as soon as it hit his lips. But yeah, it does have that. It's just a distinct taste. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the IBU. Not going to lie. Don't know what that stands for. Sorry, Railway City. But it needed to have the full drawn out description if we were going to figure that out. I'm sure we can Google it quick and get to know. But yeah, that's a good beer. I like that beer. And that's kind of similar to some of the beers we've had in the past where you could just drink them very cat. Like it doesn't mm-hmm. just have to be that IPA beer that you're only trying if you go out. This could just be have a couple sitting outside in the backyard.
They said the classics.
Yep, exactly. I think it measures the bitterness is the IBU.
Oh, you looked it up.
Yeah, of course.
What is it, IBU?
The International Bitterness Units is what I'm seeing. Yeah, so that's what that is. Did you see, I know we'll probably end up talking Oscars the whole time, but if you were to sell me one of them to watch, which one are you selling me? Because I am an open book. I haven't really seen most of them, so you got to convince me.
If I had to sell one, I'm picking my favorite of the crop, The Sound of Metal. Absolutely touching, beautiful movie starring essentially one man. Great actor, Riz Ahmed, I'm pretty sure is his name.
Yep.
The whole movie is essentially, he's like this punk rock drummer. And all of a sudden, he just has like deteriorated hearing. And the movie's filmed in the same way. So every time he can't hear, you can't really either. So you're kind of going through the same kind of gripes and problems that he's having in the movie. So it really kind of draws you in that way, I think, too. And it's also just an absolutely well-acted movie from him. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really emotional. I had to hold back some tears watching it. Absolutely.
Was emotional as well, eh?
It really is emotional. There's a lot of highs and lows in that movie.
It's funny.
And it had a great ending, I thought.
I had a feeling you were going to pick that one just off gut, so I'm glad you... Because I do want to see that, and I've heard a couple really different recos for that. Is it on any platforms?
I think it might be on Prime, but I wouldn't hold me on that one.
Yeah, might have to.
And then if not, it might be on, what is it, Apple TV?
I don't know if I have an Apple TV subscription right now. I know a lot of people might. I know I had that free one after I got my new mm-hmm. phone, but that was a while back. So
I love Apple TV now. It's one of my favorite streaming sites. But yeah, it's on one of the two, I think. I'm not fully sure. But
did you see Palmer? I know that one's on Apple TV.
Yeah, the Justin Timberlake movie, yeah.
Was that good? Have we talked about that before?
I think we talked about it for a brief. I don't know if we went into much detail. It was all right. I thought it was a really good performance from him. I didn't really think the plot really drew me in as much as I thought. He's kind of this
I could see how that plot like that kind of reminds me of like a, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good comparison for that. So what is it? How does he come in contact? How does he have to look after this kid? So he's been in prison, and then
he's been in prison. He gets released, and it's essentially like he's like the only one that can take care of this person.
Okay, and he's not related to him. He's an outcast boy from a troubled home.
I don't think he was related to him though. Yeah, there is a movie that it draws a parallel to, and I cannot remember
what it reminds me of. Peanut Butter Falcon, kind of, where it's I don't know, it's not similar at all, like completely different,
same dynamic
reasons, but it's like kind of these people come together like an unlikely cast, and then they kind of go on their adventure. So obviously like Peanut Butter Falcon, it's a guy with Down syndrome escapes the nursing home, and then he kind of meets up with Shia and another girl goes along, not to ruin the plot of the movie, but that's just kind of one of those, like, a whole bunch of unlikely people to come together, and it, and they did a really good job in that one. Like, that was a really good,
that's an excellent movie,
and they hit it on the nail for sure. But that's, I don't, that's the first movie that came to my head, and I don't know if it's a great comparison, but that's what it reminded me, not seeing Palmer, of course, but just those yeah, two unlikely people
if
coming together.
Yeah, if you wanted to watch a movie and Palmer was one of the only choices, it's not a bad choice. There's like several other on Apple TV I think you could watch instead, but I do like the stream. It's great for great for TV shows, I think, but their movies have been kind of hit or miss for me, I think.
Yeah, Chloe Zhao, I believe her name is, has had a pretty good run the last couple award shows. She's pretty much swept, so that's great. I don't know anything about her other than just seeing her the last couple of weeks, but just a very down to earth person, it seems. Like, not too dressed up.
No.
Says a good speech, gets off stage. I don't know. It's just kind of cool to see people like that win.
Very hippie.
But I feel like people, I don't know if it's because it's like post COVID, but a lot of nonchalant people getting up on the stage and just saying whatever they want, mm-hmm. like not caring. And that's kind of funny to me. It's just like people clearly not being as polished as they would normally be. And I think that makes for good TV. Like Daniel Kaluuya
yeah,
he got up there and he said, man, like 100 times.
Yeah, not ready.
Yeah. I don't know if it was just like his rhetoric. And I know
I think he just went off cuff.
Yeah, exactly. And he,
it was awesome.
He doesn't care. Yeah. And then he said the thing about his mom and his dad, like, fucking, and thank God my mom and dad fucked or something like that. And then they
was to,
like the mom and the sister, and the sister's like, no, she's like holding her hands above her eyes. And then I don't know, I guess the mom luckily on camera didn't hear. She probably would have been mortified, but I'm sure she's seen the clip a million times after. But I don't know, that's good TV right there.
I think it's kind of taken the best of what I know a lot of people kind of clown on the award shows. What was the most previous, or what was the previous one? Award show. Was it the Globes?
Yeah.
I like that one because for one, like everyone just zoomed in with like wearing like just pajamas essentially, but everyone just kind of went off cuff and off script. And now this one is like, everyone's dressed up, but they're still doing the same speeches, which I like. I wasn't a big fan of like, I would probably just rock a hoodie if I was fucking
like Jason
zooming in anyway, but like I like that they're just getting dressed up and just saying whatever still. So like, I think that's a good thing. That's carry over at least from all this.
Well, I didn't read the article too much, but I saw the guy was like running the Oscars, just pretty much like, it's the fucking Oscars. It's not a webinar. So he's like, it's gonna be in person, you're gonna dress up, things like
that's
that.
Funny.
So direct quote I'm seeing here is,
it's the fucking Oscars, not a webinar.
Yeah, I know, that was the direct quote. So we're just trying to get people somewhere where we can really make it look great. We want everyone to participate. So that's what they did. They put it in that room, and I thought it was a really good job well done.
It was a good set. And I like the room. I actually thought it was cool.
Overseas too, obviously, probably couldn't get over. It didn't make sense. But even their setup, like they have these great, I know some of them were probably green screens, but some legitimately looked like they were like outside with a nice backdrop. I thought that was kind of cool. There's a guy from France who hopped on. I'm trying to remember which movie it was from, and it's slipping me. But he hopped on there and was like, sorry, forgive me. English is my first language. I'm French. And then he said like a really good speech after. I don't know. I really enjoyed. I was actually not going to watch it at all. And then I talked to my sister. I was like, are you going to watch this? We decided, fuck, why not? And I'm glad I did. Because I always usually watch the award shows, but I feel like, I don't know. I also watched that Jake Paul fight recently too, which was so much time into like a crazy amount of theatrics, and don't regret watching it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that kind of ruined that whole experience for me, that I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch the Oscars. It'll be something like crazy theatrics and dumb like that. Which they're not comparable. The two least comparable things, the Jake Paul fight on Thriller or whatever it is, Triller versus Thriller, the Oscars, they're completely different. But just that live people experience like that, I don't know. But I'm glad I turned it on. And I think I'll try to watch those movies. Definitely want to watch Sound of Metal, Minari.
Sound of Metal was great. Minari, I'd recommend it.
And then probably, I mean, what else is there to do? I'll probably end up watching them as soon as they become available. So
I would recommend the Ma Rainey's Black Bottom as well. That's on Netflix. And that's the Chadwick Boseman, Viola Davis. Those two just kill it every time. I don't know how many times Viola Davis has been awarded like either best supporting or leading actress, but it's insane. I bet. I don't know how many she's won, but I feel like she's in a movie every year that gets nominated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I never watch them until I see that they get nominated. Then I watch them and I go, yeah, of course.
This yeah. Oh, sense. Yeah.
It's just so good. It's so
she's
weird.
Got a couple good TV shows where she just one of those like powerful.
She's in a murder show, right?
Yeah. How to Get Away with Murder, I think it's called.
Never finished it, but she was like the only good part of that show, I remember.
She's one of those people who can just cry or be frightened and it looks so fucking real. Yeah. Like, it's no, if you're not acting, it's like you're genuinely scared or you're genuinely sad when she does it. It's pretty crazy, the job she does.
She reminds me of, like, she reminds me of, like, Denzel Washington. Like, I can throw on a Denzel movie and I believe his character every time.
Yeah.
And I believe her character every time.
Yeah.
They just kill it. It's great. And Chadwick was great in it, too.
Yeah, I'll probably watch that one, too, when it hops on. Seems like it got some pretty good reviews as well and a good story around it.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
It's insane. It was really good though. I'd let it deserve it. That's great.
For sure. It's funny to see Borat in there too.
Was it?
I know. Yeah, oh yeah.
Foreign film?
The Maria Bakalova, the supporting actress. She was up there.
No way.
She was like all dressed up, amazing dress. I don't think she was a huge actress before. I could be wrong, but
I don't think so.
Which is hilarious. Like, if you think about the role, like, yeah, she was great, but it just doesn't seem like a traditional role that you'd be winning a bunch of awards for.
Well, if that is the case, could that open the door for Bad Trip?
I mean, that's what I was thinking. Is
that believable?
Is that a 2020 movie?
That is a 2020 movie. I made a little list and it was like movies that I've seen in 2020 that I thought should get a nom.
I wish there
should be like a category for this.
Why did we not include that in our end of the year rankings?
Because we just completely forgot. You literally texted me afterward. What about Bad Trip?
And oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
We should have put that in and it definitely would have won for probably both of us. I've seen that movie.
Yeah, because that's
probably more times than
I hate watching movies like a bunch of times in a row when I saw it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't mind if it's been like a bunch of years back and you don't really remember it.
Yeah.
But that is one that I can watch endlessly.
It's hilarious.
And I want to watch it with other people because I want to see the reactions. Like,
oh, I know.
I loved watching it with my mom, my sister, and I was like, we can watch it again tomorrow because I want to see my dad. He didn't end up watching it, but I literally could have watched it within 12 hours just to see how someone else reacts. It's like a social experiment, not just a
movie. I know. I'm pretty sure the gorilla scene immediately takes it out of the running for the Oscars, but and yeah. I understand. Oh, they had little Rel Howery there.
I know. They did. That's what I was thinking. He made a that little reference really with DK when he said you got to save me here because I already saved you once when talking about Get Out, which is kind of funny.
Oh yeah, I've heard he's in that movie too.
Yeah, I wonder how, like, a movie like that, I associate them, and now I associate Rel and Andre so closely because that's like, I don't know, just the recent bias of work together. But you almost wonder how close people get within a movie, like if there's certain movies that they're together. Obviously, if it's like a franchise, they might be closer, or maybe that draws them farther apart because they see each other more and they fucking hate each other. Like, maybe Marvel, half the people hate each other, things like that.
I've always wondered that too, because they always take like buddy pictures together. I'm like, I wonder if like they just text. Like, do they think they have a group chat that they hit up every? Like, I feel like not everyone could be like a Seth Rogen and like James Franco
with all of his buddies.
Yeah they're like, they make movies with just their boys and like Adam Sandler's crew. Like, I feel like they're not all like that. Like, it's too many egos, I feel, at a
point. Dream scenario, really.
Oh, honestly, man, if I could be anyone, it would be hard not to pick Adam Sandler.
Truly would. It truly would.
It's like a great pick. Like, you're a movie star. You make bank. You do nothing.
He's so, well, he does a ton.
Well, he does a lot. Yeah.
He's so, you know, I mean, authentically him too. Like, go wear like long gym shorts and like a triple XL shirt and then go play basketball and like be crazy good. Even though he looks like a fridge sometimes. Like, nothing against that, but the guy does not look athletic. And you see him hitting those threes, for example, in Grown Ups. Like, they didn't even have to call in a stuntman for those shots.
I forget what interview it was, but I remember it might have been one of the Hot Ones, and the name's escaping me. Maybe it'll come to me. But they're talking about playing like basketball, like the YMCA with Adam Sandler one time, and he's like, he's apparently like insanely competitive. He like elbows, he like does sneaky little fouls to get away, and like, oh, it's Pete Davidson, and he goes like, I'm not even calling these fouls, like, why are you fucking elbowing me? And like, next thing you know, it's like he's hitting like a fadeaway shot, or he's like throwing like a perfect pass through your legs, and you're like, dude, we're not trying that hard. But he does.
Does he have any more movies coming out like Uncut Gems where they're just gonna be totally,
I think there is one more
acting. I feel like I've heard that recently, but
I think
he was so good in that. It's one of those things where I'm just intrigued. Like, maybe you'll have to go do a couple of like shit comedies in between, but we got to get at least one or two more performances like that. Because it's funny, Adam Sandler's kind of doing it the opposite way. You look like a De Niro, he's in all these amazing movies, and then he throws it in for the bag at the end, and he's in like,
he does like a bad
Rockers, things like that. Where like Sandler might be doing it the opposite. Like, he's throwing it in for the bag at the beginning, doing the Grown Ups, and now he's getting into his prime where he's doing like the Uncut Gems and shit like that.
I think it's more, and sorry to get film nerdy, but I think it's more the, a lot of these directors actually just want to kind of do it with them. Cause I know the Uncut Gem was done with the Safdie brothers, who were kind of with the A24, and they do the passion projects. And then the other one was, I think it was Punchdrunk Love, which is another critically acclaimed one. That was with Paul Thomas Anderson, who's another kind of contemporary director. But I wonder if it's like a challenge for these guys to try and do it. Cause I think a lot of them just want to work with him.
Yeah.
Like, apparently he's just he's a really nice guy to work with, and he's really fun on set. And I think a lot of these kind of artsy kind of directors, like almost the challenge of it's really easy when he's a nice guy too, I think.
Yeah. I mean, some of his OG movies are great too. Still comedies, but
those are great too. I love a lot of respect.
Just go on an Adam Sandler binge for a day, couldn't go wrong, because there's so much different, so many different types of movies.
What's your favorite one?
I mean, that's almost impossible. Like, I feel like it comes to mind that I would say, Happy Gilmore. That's but really, I don't even know. Like, I'd have to watch some of his old ones over. Like, I really like the one with the little kid.
Big Daddy?
Yeah. Like, that is such a funny movie.
That's my favorite one.
I know. That might be my favorite as well.
That's 100% mine. It's so funny.
50 First Dates is a classic. I haven't seen it in a long time, but that's a classic. I love Grown Ups. Like, I could watch Grown Ups 100. That's one of those movies I could watch 100 times and love. I wouldn't say it's like my favorite Adam Sandler movie, but that's, you can't go wrong with Grown Ups. If there's a few, like a bunch of diverse people in the room, what can you agree on? Grown Ups is probably going to make everyone laugh at some point of the night.
I hope the name can come to me, but I remember one of my actually other ones is one that I watched with my dad probably a million times. It's the Christmas one he did. It's going to drive me crazy.
Mixed Nuts?
No. There is like a jockstrap joke in it.
Eight Crazy Nights.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's fucking Hanukkah. Of course, it's Jewish. Yeah. No. It's so funny. I think it's like, it's an animated one with the old man. That one's a classic to me. I watch that every.
I think my favorite is Longest Yard. I've always loved Longest Yard, and that's hilarious.
It's so
good. That's probably good. Would be my favorite Adam Sandler movie, even though it's not one of those like Adam Sandler universe movies. I mean, it does have Spider in it. What am I talking about? It kind of is, but
Chris Rock's in it too.
Yeah, it is. What am I saying?
That's probably the most quoted one I've ever said.
I really like that one. I think that might be,
that's really funny,
be my favorite. And then he even gets those ones like just go with it that appeals to kind of those rom-coms, but more on the calm side, but still has that rom.
I love what we've gone from the Oscars to Adam Sandler.
I mean, yeah.
It's great.
He got... he should have won last year, yeah, but...
I agree.
Or what was it, 2 years ago now?
I think it was a
lost perception of time. All right.
I think it was 2019. It would have been last year.
Speaking of a good time, I'm excited to try this last beer. This is the one I've been excited to try. It is the Orange Creamsicle. I mean, I don't know about you, but as a kid, and still, Creamsicle is my favorite. It's my favorite ice cream flavor. That flavor is
really
so good. Yeah, Creamsicle. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be good with beer. So
I want to peg you as a Creamsicle
to,
guy.
I'm going to have to hold my opinion until after we try it, but I'll give it a read here. And it's kind of a clever pun. It's the Orange Cream Sick Ale, like beer. Is our take on your favorite hot childhood summer treat made with freshly zested oranges. Seriously, our brewers spend days zesting oranges in preparation for this brew and vanilla beans. The cream ale is a perfect summer refresher as it is light in body and only 4.8%. You can find Orange Creamsicle during its summer appearance from the middle of March to about September here at the brewery, of course, in your local LCBO, or at your licensed grocery store all across Ontario. They said, hope you enjoy the swag and the beers, and we can't wait to tune into the podcast. Thank you, Bridget, for working with us and sending those beers over. I mean, I got my hat on. You got your shirt on as we're recording the podcast. Obviously, you can't hear, but we always appreciate that, and we'll be repping the merch over the next few weeks when maybe we can get back on the golf course and
so nice.
I'll have to wear a hat to protect from the sun. But
I see this one's got stats on it. I like that.
Yeah, so does the dead elephant I saw. So it has that IBU. So this has got a 5 IBU, whereas the dead elephant has a 66. So that's a crazy comparison.
Original gravity and then final gravity. Good movie.
This is where we need one of them on to explain these to us. But honestly, as long as it tastes good, I don't think anyone cares. So let's give this a try.
This is the one I've been the most excited for as soon as you sent me the fucking box.
I expected it to be orange just because it was creamsicle.
Mm.
Oh my God.
Oh,
not going to lie, I was expecting that's to be insane. Let down.
I was that, too, because I thought so this flavorful. Was going to be more of a kind of a cider. I thought the ciders would have done it better. This is delicious.
Well, yeah, it just seems like one of those, the flavor. Seems mm-hmm. like it would just be one of those sugary drinks that somebody would do. I'm sure they have a ton of creamsicle drinks like that. Like kind of like those root beers they have.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking it was going to be, and I'm not a big fan of those.
They're but I thought it was just going to taste like Shock Top, or which I love Shock Top, or Belgian Moon. But this genuinely has the first taste tastes like a creamsicle, and you get the beer taste after, but that's crazy good. And that's I know really it's good. Just a summer beer, but if you can get your hands on this one, it's worth just like it's like an experiment almost.
This is delicious. I can't say.
Imagine having that, a nice frosty pint like that on a patio. Like that's top notch for sure.
Did they say what this pairs well with? I mean, anything, but.
They didn't say the foods. Maybe because it's a dessert beer, right? So you wouldn't really be eating food with it. It'd be after the food. So you start off with a nice hamburger with your dead elephant.
And then a fajita.
Yeah, and then you have a taco and a pizza. And then you finish it off with the nice orange creamsicle. Perfect dessert.
This is 100% dessert to me, man. This is delicious.
Yeah, but this one's going to go down quickly. That's so delicious.
Yeah, I did an aggressive pour. I'm not.
Yeah, so I think we've kind of exhausted our Oscars talk. I got to go watch some of those movies. And now I kind of just want to watch an Adam Sandler movie as well. Imagine if we got Adam Sandler on the podcast. I would like shit myself. I don't think I could even ask a question. I think that would be my number one guest, maybe. Other than maybe a sports guy.
He might be the one guy that I don't get starstruck, though, and could talk to. Just because I feel like he is a nice guy. And he's very talkable, I feel.
But you'd be so scared leading up to it.
100%.
Yeah.
I'd ask him why Salma Hayek every time, and then he'd probably be like, why wouldn't you pick Salma Hayek to be your co-lead?
He just, yeah, I'm just looking at all these movies here. How, like, how much money must he have? Just think about that.
Tons.
It's insane. Insane. But anyways, speaking of a ton of money going into a show, what do you think about the Falcon Winter Soldier finale? I assumed you watched it.
Oh, I did watch it.
Are we doing spoiler? Are we doing a little spoiler alert, or do you want to go high level?
When did it come out? Last Friday?
Yeah, it was last Friday. This will probably go up Thursday or Friday.
I think it's enough time.
Yeah, let's do it.
To give a spoiler, I think we can do spoilers.
Just skip if you haven't watched it.
It's really good. I would actually recommend watching. I thought it was one of my favorite. It probably was my favorite episode. I think a lot of action's a good redemption arc with the whole John Walker thing. The new suit, sick.
Yeah,
thought that was cool. For
I saw some people clowning his goggles though. They're like, you can't.
Oh, I can get.
I can have the goggles. Like, why not? I draw a quote. I can't.
There's rules.
I think it
he
was.
He wears a fucking. He wears goggles. He wears,
I know, like, but they thing. Were saying they should have one of those things where, like, you click and it goes away or something like that. I can't remember who I saw said that. Someone on Twitter, some YouTube video I saw. But yeah, the suit was pretty sick.
If I'm flying around, I'm wearing goggles. You have to wear goggles. You absolutely. He's not wearing a helmet. He should be wearing a helmet. My mother would have been pissed if I did that. I thought it was cool, though. I thought it was. I don't really. I wasn't really a big fan of the villain in the series, the Flag Smashers, I think is what they're called.
Yeah, me neither. Lady. I didn't love her.
A big fan.
I want to be like judgy, but I don't know. I feel like she was too
nice.
She was a good actress, but she was always like buddy buddy with the main characters. Mm-hmm. I understand, like, they were saying kind of the plot of you were screwed over, so you should be on my side, but it was like, I don't know. I feel like they were too close to each other. And then, yeah, like, obviously, like, when she kills Walker's sidekick, that's a bit crazy. And I know at the end, she isn't very innocent when she wants to fucking kill everyone there. But still, I don't know. It just...
Well, that wasn't her. That was, like, the goons, I think. I think she was more, she was running away at that point.
I think she wanted everyone dead, though. That was
she
a thing.
She did. She did. Yeah. Want, like, she wanted certain people dead.
Like the politicians, things like that.
She wanted them dead because she blamed the government. She blamed the U.S. government. And she wanted them dead. I thought they had a cool little dynamic, though, with the whole when the John Walker, Captain America, was fighting her. It was kind of like he's kind of the villain fighting the anti-hero mixture thing that they had going on. But I think it was a little too... rushed in the whole six episode format.
Well,
I
yeah, really
had a lot of time to make us either hate or love the two. They kind of just made us hate John Walker, and like they made us not like, I don't, it wasn't like a strong enough emotion to really get invested. I thought
I was watching the video the whole, and they were saying maybe it was rushed because of COVID, right? So maybe they couldn't do some of the episodes they wanted or have as many like in person.
I thought six episodes was a little short. I think WandaVision was around 11, so this is like almost cut in half. It didn't really make much sense. I wish they had.
They could have drawn it out so much farther too. That's the thing. There,
I thought they could have.
It kind of came to this end where I don't know if anything really happened.
Like, yeah, if you put it kind of like that, and you're like, Jack, explain it. It's tough.
Yeah, it in regards to accomplishing the goal. I know like they stopped them, but I feel like it could have got more intense. Like something bad should have happened. Like nothing bad really happened. I mean, honestly, when you stretch it out over like and you don't binge it, you do forget some parts. But I feel like nothing happened that the shocking scene where Walker killed the Flag Smasher, what is it called?
The Flag Smashers is the that's the group that they call themselves. Yeah.
That one scene was fucking intense, and
I love
the episode. Like that was shocking, and that was like,
awesome.
That was an all time moment. Like that was really good TV.
I 100% agree. That was great.
I think they could have had two or three more of those crazy moments if they spread it out over 10 episodes.
Yeah,
very culturally relevant, like a lot of societal plays on the last episode, which is good. Like I was talking to somebody, one of my friends, and he was like, yeah, that I'm like, I'm excited because it is very like culturally relevant. So
yeah,
you can tell it was not filmed too long ago, because a lot of things that obviously are being talked about now and should be being talked about was talked about in that, mm-hmm. which was interesting. Bucky, I guess he finally got rid of that book, crossed off all the names in that book, which was good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was a good series. I enjoyed it. And I, like you said, I at least 10 episodes in a season, 6 episodes in a season doesn't even seem like a full season. If you're deeming it, I know it's like a short series, but make it.
The episodes are kind of long, but like.
But like only 45 minutes, most of them, aren't they?
I think most of them were. I think the last episode was maybe almost close to an hour.
They have the post credits too, which I feel like I missed all of them. I didn't flash forward. Why would you do post? I don't know. I guess.
Well, they've always done post credits. Yeah. That's not like that's a thing. That's our problem, really, for not getting through. I can't remember what it was.
I know.
I think I did sit through it, though, and I don't remember it.
Well, I think the big one in the second last episode, my buddy Ben was telling me, he's like, he's making a shield. Or my sister was telling me or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So that was one of them. I
saw the memes about that. And that was funny.
Yeah. And then he throws that shield. In the last episode, it just like breaks. Like
papers, yeah, he's been building that for months, probably, and he fucking just. I do. I remember the post credit scenes for the final episode. Now you're right. No, yeah, it's what's her name? Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the new. She's like this like lawyer
type
woman who's like against or for the super villains, I guess, and she sets John Walker up with the new gig as the U.S. agent.
Yeah,
and that's apparently that's leading into I think that's going to be the next. I think it's like the Thunderbolts or what. It's too nerdy now. At this point, you need to read the comics and it sucks. Or you need to at least read a Wikipedia and it sucks, because I haven't read all those yet. So, but I know the loose bases, there's like some super villain group, I'm pretty sure. And I think that's setting up to be, I don't know if it's going to be the main villains, but it's going to be at least the... a foe of the new Avengers, I guess. That's just too much now.
Well, Loki's out next, though, right?
So that's June,
I believe, which I'm excited for. I think my initial reaction was weird. They announced
all these, and I was like, I'm not going to watch them. Now I've watched. No, I'm probably going to watch all of them.
Owen Wilson in it. Interesting cast. What do you think about that? I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know that.
Maybe I'm tripping, but I'll give it a Google.
You might not be. That's a good pick for them. I like Owen Wilson. I'm a big fan, actually.
He's just so like cast set, though. That Owen Wilson. He's
I like a lot of his
Mobius M. Mobius. That doesn't seem like a real name, but that's what it says.
It's Marvel, man.
It's awesome. Yeah. Oh, Lady Loki. Has he met a girl in the new realm? Interesting. Yeah, I liked it. I liked the series. Wish it wasn't done. Every Friday, I would normally think, why the fuck is a TV show on Friday? But especially now when we weren't doing anything, like me and my sister finish work and we go down, eat dinner, and then we'll watch a show. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's like you have something to do on a Friday, which for once.
Yeah. I like that too. I actually don't mind the episodic format. I'm watching a couple shows that do that, and it's nice to have something to kind of look forward to, since there's like nothing really to look forward to as much anymore.
Yeah.
But it is nice to kind of have that, I guess. So I'm not going to mind it. Yeah. And I think I will watch Loki. I'm pretty sure it comes out in like a month. So
yeah, I think it's June. So I'm excited. He's a good, he's a good actor.
I'm a fan of Tom.
So it should be good. Wouldn't have known his name, not going to lie, until he said it. And I was looking at the Google thing.
I think I got it right. I hope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You nailed it. So anything else on the radar? We've been very entertainment heavy with the movies and the TV shows, but I think that's okay. It's good to, a lot of people Oscar probably season. Did watch the Oscars on Sunday. So we got the little post-mortem on the Oscars this week and enjoyed some Rail City beers. That's got to be one of the best beers we have. I know we say it every episode, but that orange creamsicle beer is absolutely delicious. It is.
That was really good. I'm a big fan of the three that they sent. I like.
And we've got our nice merch. You got the shirt, and I've got the hat. So we'll be wearing that around as well.
Great shirt.
So, Jack, anything anything else on the radar of late?
Jeez.
Right, we did the Oscars. We did the end of Falcon Winter Soldier. Do we want to call it a night there?
We can. I had a game that I stole from another podcast. But
do we want to play it quick?
It's also entertainment heavy. I don't know.
Hey, we can save it for next week. Bring the people back.
Do you want
me
to give you the
week?
Basis and then you can make the decision?
Yeah, for sure.
So essentially, it's I have written dumbed down versions of plots of movies. And can you guess the movies?
Let's do it.
You want to do it?
Yeah. We'll do. How many do you have?
I have one. Six.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This should take no time. So this is badly explained movie plots. I wish I could give the credit to the right podcast, but I think a lot of people do this.
What podcast is it?
I can't remember. I just saw it on TikTok, but then I Googled badly explained plots and there was like 1,000 articles and then I didn't like those options, so I just ripped my own.
Hey, we gave the annotation. They know who they are if they're listening.
These are written by me, so it's not like I'm stealing the actual content. All right. Man pretends to be substitute teacher while also teaching kids how to be the second best band in a contest.
School of Rock.
100%. In a world where you either sing or play basketball, one boy will try to do both.
Read it one more time.
In a world where you either sing or play basketball, one boy will try to do both.
Oh, I feel like this is so easy. This is actually a lot of pressure. I regret saying yes to this game. Honestly, I keep thinking of Space Jam, but that's not what it is. Who's singing? Who sings?
There's no musical in that.
Who's singing? High School Musical.
Oh, there you go.
You said musical, but I might have had that. I might have had that regardless.
You would have.
It was coming out of my
kids
tongue.
Play
it.
Go ahead. You had it. A group of kids play a video game while Sylvester Stallone suffers from split personality disorder.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank here. Play a video game.
A group of kids play a video game while Sylvester Stallone suffers from split personality disorder.
Play a video, like Stranger Things. That's not a movie. Yeah. Jumanji?
No.
What is it?
Not in that. It is Spy Kids 3.
Sylvester Stallone is in Spy
he
Kids.
He is in
3?
It. He's the toy maker.
Oh, no, I would. Okay.
He's the main villain.
I'll wear that one. I didn't know that one. Even though Spy Kids, the thumbs are pretty epic, but no, I wouldn't have had that.
That's one.
There's
no thumbs in the third one, sadly. So
that's why I didn't watch it.
A kid finesses a summer vacation from the government and also gets treasure and onions.
That would be Holes.
That is Holes.
Yes.
I got two more. I don't know if you get this one. Guy tries to win the affection of a hot old man by playing the drums.
Whiplash.
That is.
Yes.
Last one. A goth girl can't decide whether to have sex with a hot canine or a hot old guy.
Say it one more time.
A goth girl can't decide whether to have sex with a hot canine or a hot old guy.
A hot dog. Hot dog? Hot dog. It's like sausage party.
Not sausage party.
One more time. I don't think I have this one, but I need to hear it one more time. I can't give up.
You will. If I have to tell you, you will.
Goth girl. Goth.
A goth girl can't decide whether to have sex with a hot canine or a hot old guy.
I think I'm going to.
Collection of movies.
I think I'm going to have to pass on this one. What is it?
That would be Twilight.
Oh, my God. Canine.
Told you. He's a werewolf, technically.
Yeah, that's easy. I wouldn't have had that one, but that's a real. I like that game.
I thought you would
have
been mad at that one.
No, that is good. Canine was throwing me off, though. I guess that's a wolf. I was thinking I was two in the dog lane, not the wolf lane.
You were two in the dog lane.
That's a good game, Jack. I like that. And it kept on the theme
of movies.
A full episode with Railway. All about movies and TV, so that was good. Any last words for our presenting sponsor this episode? Anything you have to say about the dead elephant or the creamsicle or the crew premium lager?
other than just a big thank you, I mean, these are delicious beverages. I love the glass that they sent.
Great size.
And I love the shirt, too. The shirt and the hat are nice. It was very nice of them to send that.
Yeah. I
hope they appreciate it.
And we love to support local St. Thomas. Who knows? Joe Thornton may or may not be from there. You guys can look into it yourself. But those were delicious beers. And like I said, if you have a chance to grab the creamsicle before the summer's over, do it. Not even because they gave us three beers, but it's just genuinely tasty. And if I see it, I'll definitely be giving another shot. Put that in the freezer, put that in the fridge, and then go and have it on a patio out back in your backyard. That's the perfect beer for me. So
I drink everyone, these in the winter.
Oh, well, yeah, any time of the year. But I'm just saying, perfect scenario, as if it could get any better. But thanks, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed our Oscars discussion and our talk about Falcon Winter Soldier and that pretty sweet game Jack gave to us. Hit that subscribe button, and we'll catch you next week. Take it easy. Peace.